Before I go into the message time, I just wanted to give opportunity for anyone who wanted to share a testimony again to be able to do so. If you have an example of how God has demonstrated His love towards you or how He has worked in your life in recent weeks, we want to give you an opportunity to share that briefly. Let me just limit you to maybe like 30 seconds or so. We're already a little beyond our time, but I don't want to miss the opportunities for everyone to give praise and glory to God for what He's doing in each other's lives. I think it's important that we remember and we celebrate the way God is working in us individually as people and as a church family. So if there's anybody who has a testimony or just a brief word of encouragement, just give you an opportunity to share here at this time. And if there's nothing, that'll be okay too. We'll trust that God knows.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for my wife, who has been by me all these years. And I guess I could say my marriage has been a good marriage, but it's been up and down. I guess I could say the way I've acted, not the way my wife has acted. And so, I mean, good and at times. And so what he's been dealing with my heart to really want to put it right for all eternity. And so when I went to Spain, I was dealing with, well, Oswald Chambers was talking about surrender, you know, and it's a matter of the will, and that's the last thing that God deals with you. And so I realized my will has been somewhat stubborn and kind of my will, and I have a right to act the way I do because it's the way my wife treats me. And I finally surrendered my will to the Lord, and that was something that Oswald says, when you do that, you'll be in perfect oneness with Christ, you know. And I understood that because I was in oneness with the Lord at times, but not all the time. And by surrendering my will, it's His will, not my will. So when I wake up in the morning, it's, you know, who am I going to please, not please myself. So that whole time we were in Spain, my wife or my daughter, at the end of our time there, she said, "Dad," he says, "I notice you really don't seem to be getting irritated. You know, your relationship is just like I've never seen it." And I said, "Well, surrender, Rebecca, I surrendered to the Lord, and that's kind of where I'm at, and life's never been better."
And your prayers matter.
Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Phil, for sharing. Doris, yes. You can talk loud enough. Go ahead. Let her rip. You had a fall here recently. Yes. Thank you, Robin. Do you want the mic?
I've been going through a little bit of a dry time, just kind of not feeling a lot. But recently I just been reading in Psalms, and I've now kind of been like grateful that I am able to help family, friends where I can, and it has blessed me more than I've expected. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Lisa, yes.
Thanks. I just wanted to let you all know that my sister and brother-in-law had their second wedding. And it went really well, and it was really a blessing to be able to celebrate them. So thank you all for your prayers for them. I mean, there's still a lot for them to navigate. It hasn't really changed anything as far as, you know, his immigration journey because they have already been married. But it was just really a blessing to be able to celebrate them. So thank you for your prayers in that.
Anyone else there? Nelson's trying to get his arm up. He's like, my arm is really sore here from my fall. He's like, oh, I can't quite get it up.
Yeah, falling on Tuesday, I had a chance to, well, I should say, it opened my eyes to realize some safety things that I didn't do that went against, you know. I should have had a spotter, but I'm here. That's the main thing. I'm glad God was with me.
Thank you, everybody, for sharing. Today we're going to dive into a small section of Mark, just a few verses, but it's leading up to next Sunday. So next Sunday we're doing what we're calling a Sent and Sowing Sunday. And what that is, just to give you a brief rundown of what that is, so we're going to gather in small groups, two or three, four perhaps, and we're just going to go out into Marietta with some different things. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt-ish type of thing. So you might have one of your tasks might be to bless somebody with a gift card that you meet on the street, or to stop and get coffee at the coffee shop, or to take a picture by a historic plaque in the park and ask someone you meet to take the picture for you. Like, it's just little things that I hope will create some connections from our church family into the town of Marietta. As we sing about Jesus who died and loved us so deeply, we remember that he actually loves, you know, all of them out there just as much. And I know we know that, but sometimes we get so busy in our own lives that we forget that he actually calls us to be on mission with him. And so that's what we're going to do. There's a couple different cards. I'm going to show you what some of these activities are at the end, because I'm hoping that some of you are like, I'm on the fence about this. I don't want to put my name in and feel totally uncomfortable, which is understandable. So I'm going to show you a couple of these activities at the end and show you what these cards look like. So hopefully it might just give you a little bit of a nudge of encouragement to join us. It'll be something I hope will be fun. Ultimately, it'll be a way for us to work together and just to be out in the town of Marietta. If you have more questions about that, you can ask me. Again, the sign-up sheet is over in the fellowship hall. We're just seeking to create connections with those outside of our doors here. And we're going to talk about that more as we go through this message today. If you have your Bible, you can turn a while to Mark Chapter 6. Will be in verses 7 to 13 today. And I had the message titled, A Sent People. What I want us to see, and I think what the early Anabaptists believed, was that we are not merely a body of believers who sends an occasional person on mission. No. We're a body of sent people already who occasionally send someone across the ocean or across the country to work. But we're all sent people. We're all on mission every day for King Jesus. And I'm going to take you through this passage and hopefully just bring some encouragement and some conviction by way of Jesus' words to us. And I wanted to acknowledge that this might be something that will stretch some of you, and I understand that it could be difficult, and so that's why we've kind of created some different levels to this. So hopefully the more comfortable level will feel like that to you. all in all I want to say in the very beginning here is there is something about your story that God wants to use in somebody else's life. Not only wants to use, there's something about God's story that he can use. There's something about the way God has worked in your life that somebody else needs to hear. That's the beauty of 2 Corinthians 5:20, that we implore men to believe on Jesus as though God is making his appeal through us. God makes his appeal through people. That's what we learned about in the sent life. God makes his appeal through people. You have a particular story that God wants to use to reach someone else. Follow along as I read Mark chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This sending out of the disciples is recorded in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's given quite a bit more space in Matthew, so I'm going to use some passages and some of the information we get from Matthew's gospel as we go through here, because Mark just doesn't give us a whole lot of information on this particular incident, on this particular mission that Jesus sends his disciples out into. But let's look at the very beginning. The disciples are sent out. This word to be sent out is the word apostle, which just means a sent one. We remember that Jesus earlier in Mark told them that he was going to do this. He said he appointed 12 so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. This was Jesus' purpose from the very beginning, from when the time he called his 12 disciples. His intentions were to send them out. The gospel wasn't just for them. It was for others who needed to hear the message that Jesus was coming, that Jesus was there. And we see this all throughout the gospels. All throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, even in John, Jesus says at the very end in John 20:21, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. So what I'm trying to show you here is that this is what I'm wanting to get to, is that this was not just a specific mission for the apostles in this particular time and place, but it is actually a mission for all of us to partake in. So this is the end of Jesus' ministry. This is just before he ascends. He says, I am sending you as the Father has sent me. Again, we are a sent people. Jesus didn't save us just for us. He loves us, but he loves others as well. 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. This is the ministry and mission that we have been called to. And this is where I see your unique story has something powerful that somebody else might need to hear. So Jesus sends out his disciples, and so we understand that it was not just for the disciples, but also for us. We can look at these various places in Scripture where Jesus tells us that he is sending us out. We are a sent people. In case you're still not convinced that this is a mission for all of us, Jesus himself is called an apostle. Hebrews 3:1, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who called him." So to be a disciple, we've talked about this before, but to be a disciple in first century Jewish culture meant that you lived, breathed, ate, slept, you did everything with your rabbi, your teacher. That's the picture of discipleship that Jesus would have understood and the disciples would have understood. This is how we understand discipleship today. And what is our purpose as followers of Jesus? If discipleship is our mission, what's the end goal of that? To be like Jesus. If Jesus was sent, we are sent. If Jesus incarnated himself and stepped out of heaven and walked among us and went to us, then we are sent, just like Jesus is sent. God saved us not just for ourselves. You have a particular story God wants to use in somebody else's life. God is still writing your story, but he wants to use you in somebody else's life. So the disciples are sent out. How are they sent out? They're sent out two by two. So this is one of the reasons why we're doing this next Sunday, that we're sending, that we're going out in groups of two or three. Why is a group better than being on your own? Just shout out something. Why is two better than one? You can encourage each other. One might respond. One might have a more personal experience to relate to somebody. The other one can be praying. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, which you most often associate this with marriage, probably. But this is the same idea Jesus is bringing to us here. He sent his disciples out two by two. For if one of them falls, the other guy can lift him up. When we go out on mission as followers of Jesus, we do it together because we need each other. It's also two witnesses. You know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about having two witnesses. So there's all sorts of ideas Jesus is probably getting at when he sends them out two by two. It goes even deeper than that, though. I think there's an intimacy and a fellowship that we experience when we're on mission together, experiencing whatever comes. Just think about somebody you've gone through something hard with, or partnered with somebody in a work project, or whatever it might be. You probably have certain connections, certain people you're closer with than others. And it's probably because you've gone through something with that person. Right? I think of my time in boot camp, in the Marine Corps, and how there was part of their purpose was to forge us into one, to put us through hard things together, so that we wouldn't think about ourselves, but we would think about the other person whose back we were watching. Like, that was the whole purpose of breaking us down, was to build us up together. There's something that happens through mission that is essential for discipleship. That's what we can understand, that mission and discipleship go hand in hand. That's the way Jesus did it. That's the way the disciples learned it. They didn't learn primarily from a textbook. They learned from walking alongside and being involved in the mission Jesus was on. So we're going out next Sunday. Whoever signs up to be a part of that, we're going out 2x2 or 2x3. And it's not meant to be like the only time you do this. It's meant to be a mere kickstarter, maybe something to just get you to be encouraged or to build a little confidence in this. So we have two things going on that are starting next Sunday. The Sentence Sewing Sunday, and we also have something called What Do You See and How Can You Sew? So that's something really simple, and we've done that before last summer in the Scent class. And you can sign up for both of them over there in the fellowship hall. But the What Do You See, Who Do You See, and How Can You Sew? That is simply a text message that you will receive randomly throughout the day from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. for a whole period of a month. From June 8th until whatever July 8th is. For a whole period of a month, you'll sign up and you'll get a text message one time a day. And the whole point is to look up and see who might be around you. Because living a sent life is a 24/7 thing. It's always being aware of who God has put around you and how you might speak into their life, how you might sow into their life. So those opportunities are coming up, and I just hope that you would consider taking part in one or both of them. There's lots of ways to be flexible with this, so if you're just not quite sure if you can do it or if the timing works out or any questions you might have, just come and see me. We can work it out some way for you to be involved in that. But this is our mission as people who have been redeemed by Jesus to go proclaim his good works to those around us. So Jesus sent his disciples in twos, 2x2. It's better to be together than it is to be alone. And it's better for fellowship to do it with brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's look at some of the instructions that Jesus said. This is where a lot of confusion and questions can come in. These might sound totally foreign to you or just kind of like, what is he talking about here? And, you know, it's kind of simple, but yet it's kind of like, what is he really trying to get at here? So Jesus tells them not to take anything except a staff. Take nothing for your journey. Take nothing for your journey except a staff. And some translations say not even take a staff. So there's a little bit of variation even between the different gospel, the way they are treated in the different gospels. They each say it a little bit differently. What does Jesus mean by all of this? Obviously, these instructions aren't applicable to us today. We don't walk with staffs, and we don't wear sandals, most of us, or at least not like the way they did it in early Jewish culture. I think Jesus is trying to teach them something about trusting in God. I think Jesus is trying to teach them something about trusting in God. Some people see a picture of the Exodus in this, in the instructions Moses gave when they were about ready to head out. Some people see that. Some people also see glimpses of Elijah and John the Baptist in this, in their simple living and lifestyle, living out in the desert, in the clothes they wore. There's a lot of similarities to all of this. And some others think Jesus just wanted them to experience a lack. But in Luke 22, Jesus directly asked them, when I sent you out with no money bag, did you experience a lack? And their answer was no. We experience no lack in this. That's Luke 22:35. Jesus directly asked them about this mission, and they said they experienced no lack. I think there's something God can only teach us when we're entirely dependent on him. We talked a little bit about possessions in faith and action this morning and how we can actually become trusting of our possessions. Our possessions can actually hinder us The disciples were sent out with nothing but to trust in God and to trust in the hospitality of others. There's something about putting yourself out of your comfort zone that is essential for discipleship. There's something about putting yourselves out of your comfort zone that's necessary for becoming more like Jesus. So the disciples were not fully trained at this point. I have to wonder whether they were expecting this or not. Jesus had kind of given glimpses of this before, as we looked at in Mark 3. But I have to wonder if they weren't totally caught off guard by this. If they weren't surprised by this. Just a few stories earlier, they had lacked significant faith. They had lacked faith. They had, in later chapters, they will still prove themselves to be not understanding of what Jesus was trying to do. The disciples were totally and completely not ready for this. I think we can understand that. Even in Acts, even after they received the power of the Spirit, they are still recognized as uneducated, common men. And they were astonished. They recognized simply that they had been with Jesus. We can be encouraged that if we don't feel particularly equipped to go out and engage with people, that that's good. God wants us to go out of our comfort zone at times, to step out and to trust Him. We're really only trusting in God when we are actually trusting in Him. Like, we're only trusting in God if it's actually all that we're hanging on to. I think there's something we can miss if we let our weaknesses hold us back. And this is what Paul came to understand in 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If we don't step out into our weakness, will we ever fully experience the power of Christ? I think that's what Paul is getting at. If we don't step out into our weakness, like the disciples did, will we ever fully experience the power of Jesus? It's in our weaknesses that His power is most fully realized. It's in our weakness that His power is brought to bear in our lives. If we don't step out into our weakness, we might miss experiencing the fullness of Jesus' power. I don't know what your particular weakness is. We all have different weaknesses. No doubt there are some here that are the same weaknesses. But the reality is that Jesus wants us to step out in our weakness. It's only as we step out in our weakness that we fully experience the power of God. And Paul realized this. It's because we're stepping out of our weakness, we're actually trusting in God. Do you see how that actually puts it into practice? Where it's easy to say we're trusting in God when we're comfortable, when we're sitting at home and Jesus is just a friend next to us. But if there's actually somebody who might oppose us, there's actually an uncomfortable situation that might come before us, then to step into that weakness, we actually put ourselves in a place where we actually have to trust Him. We actually have to trust that His power, His goodness, His grace is going to get us through that moment because it's beyond ourselves. When I started preaching, I would have been absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. And I say that totally honestly, like speaking in front of people would never have been something I wanted to do. Never. Ever. Just for clarity's sake. Ever. And God is going to work differently in each person's life. Not every person is called to do this or that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when we step out in our weakness, we can grow and experience God's power in a way that we won't if we just stay where we're comfortable. That's what I'm saying. So whatever it is that you're weak, wherever you feel God like might be wanting to push you out a little bit, like that's the point where he's going to meet you. The point of your weakness is the point where God is going to meet you. But you have to be willing to take that step. And the disciples did. He taught them practically how to trust in God. But I think there's also something in here that Jesus wanted them to trust on others, in other people. Hospitality was huge in that culture in that day. He basically tells them, you're going to rely and depend on those you come in contact with. You're not going to bring any supplies with you, but you're going to trust in them. You're going to rely on the community for a place to stay, for food. And I can't help but think that this is something we struggle with totally and entirely in our culture. I just know in my own life, like as I was thinking about this past week, I just know like I can buy my way out of the need for community. If I have something I need and somebody else has something that I could borrow it, or I could just go buy it myself. Like, and that's easy for me to do. I'll just be honest. Like, that's easy. Oftentimes I don't want to ask for help. And there's a specific instance right now in my own life where I'm trying to put this verse, this what I'm learning, into practice. So like my wife and I, this is a real story. Like we had this conversation this week. Like we're talking about buying a small trailer to carry bikes at times, kayaks, whatever have you, different little things. And I'm not sure I've landed on a decision yet with this, but as I think about it, I could easily go buy a small trailer, or I could continue buying the one or borrowing the one that's nearby, where I have to actually engage in a relationship with somebody. I could buy something which would totally negate that. And I'm just putting this in my own, this is my own journey here. Like, so you guys relate it to your own story, but as I look at my life, I can easily buy my way out of the need for community. We have resources, money, most of us available, that we can just buy. If there's something we need, instead of asking, we'll just buy it. And that's been convicting for me. Because as Jesus calls us to be people who are sent out, that practically actually takes away from the ability we have to interact with other people, neighbors, whoever it might be in your case. So Jesus, I think, wants them to trust in God through this trip, through this missions trip. He's trying to teach them to trust in him and to trust in others. In our family here, we can trust in one another. If there's somebody here who has something, like maybe we can borrow it from them. Maybe we can depend upon them. Maybe we don't need to just buy it. That's where I felt like the Lord was taking me in all of this. So Jesus is wanting them to learn to trust in God, learn to trust in others. But there's a danger involved. There is a danger involved in this. Mark doesn't mention it very much. He does talk about rejection a little bit. If they don't want to listen to you, he says, shake your feet off. And basically just a way of saying, like, our hands are clean. Like, you've made your choice. You know, we're going to keep moving on. That's basically the way Jesus is trying to get them to understand this. Like, hey, you don't want to hear us? That's fine. We'll move on. You've given your answer. So we move on. But Matthew really exemplifies and talks about the danger that can be inherent in being following Jesus into difficult places. Now, we won't experience much of this in our culture currently, but in Matthew, he says, behold, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Does anybody know what happens to a sheep, to a lamb in the midst of a wolf pack? It's nothing pretty. This would not have been a word of encouragement for the disciples. And yet, Jesus later goes on to say, trust in the one. Don't be afraid of man who can only kill your body. Be afraid of the one who can kill your body and your soul. Be afraid of the one who's over your soul. Be afraid of the one who controls your eternity. This is the inherent danger. When we go out, there may be people who say, I don't want to hear that. You know, get that away from me. That religion's a crutch, or whatever they might say. All kinds of things. People have hurt and things they've experienced in their own life that have caused them to react in one way or another to Jesus and the church. That you may experience hurt and rejection and ridicule when you're going out talking about Jesus to people. That's something that is inherently involved in that. Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me first. There are some who won't like the message of repent and trust in God. There are some who will be opposed to that message. So, that's the danger. Jesus sends them out two by two to encourage fellowship, mutual mission, disciple making. He wants them to trust in God. He wants them to trust in others. And yet there's an inherent danger involved in doing that. Be clear, like there is a danger in many places in the world of sharing Jesus with people where you, and we can say it safely here, but people will be killed for sharing the name of Jesus. So the outcome is they are sent out and they go and proclaim that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil, and the sick were healed. So I believe that the disciples had a specific mission. There was a unique place and purpose of God in time for their mission. I do believe miracles obviously are still possible, but there is something unique about the way God was working in the apostles at this time to authenticate Jesus and to tell them the kingdom of God has come. There is something special about the mission the apostles had. But it doesn't mean we're still not sent people today. I want to bring to you, as we close, our mission statement. I'm going to just read it. Just listen to the words. This is what God has put on the hearts of people actually many, many years ago who designed and created this mission statement. So just listen, we've adjusted it a little bit, but the primary meat of it is still the same. The mission statement is, as a faith family, we follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love so that together we can experience the living God and become channels of compassion and hope to a hurting world. That's our mission statement. That's the life of a sent person. As a faith family, we're going to take some time in the next couple months and unpack more of these statements. We follow Jesus, bearing with and building each other up in love, so that together, so that all of us together can experience God. It doesn't say know about God. That says experience God. We don't want to just know in our heads. We want to experience Him in our lives for the purpose of becoming a channel of compassion and hope to a world that desperately needs Jesus. We sang the song, Jesus, Hope of the Nations. This is what living a sent life looks like. And it often begins with noticing people. in the simplest, smallest, most mundane moments of the day, living a sent life means noticing the people around you. Noticing those who God has put in your sphere of influence, in your circle of friends, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, on your bus, at the gym, at your school. Noticing people is what Jesus did, what he modeled for us. So I told you I was going to show you these sentence sowing cards. So this is what we're looking for next Sunday. You'll see two cards. On the left is number one, on the right is number two. And I'll let you just look at them a minute there. I'll have it sent out, or we'll have it printed off so it'll be around. These are just an example of some of the things that we're going to be doing. So this is a card for the first month in June, but we have two more scheduled in July and August that are going to build off of this. This is for June. But these are just some of the simple things that we want to do to get us out in the community of Marietta to meet and rub shoulders with the people who live right outside of these doors. You guys think you can do some of that? Well, Phil, I imagine you'll probably be on the right side of this card here. So, so these cards, again, are designed so that the one on the left, the card number one, is just a little less out there. Yes, intimidating. It's supposed to be a little less intimidating just to get us out there, meet the people who own a business, or just meet, you know, we have the Senior Citizen Center or residence right behind us here. There's often ladies and people sitting outside there on a nice day, like today probably. So all of this, again, all of this is designed to do is just to make a presence in the community, to let the people know that there is a God who loves them and his hands and feet are at work still in this world. And we're just going to go out and we're going to pray beforehand. We'll eat a quick lunch beforehand. We're going to pray and just go out. There's no pressure to have to finish every single one on here. If you get into a conversation with somebody, really working and praying with someone, then you just stay there. Like, there's no need to try to necessarily complete everything on here. This is just something to hopefully get us started. Again, if there's any questions, please come see me or some of the other MCT members. They'll probably send you to me. So, I happened to look at Robin, and she looked a little concerned when I said that. So, again, like, there's two sign-up sheets over in the fellowship hall. Please consider joining us for that. Let me encourage you again with the idea that there is something about your story that God can and will use in the life of somebody else. I believe that. There's some part of your story that God has redeemed or is redeeming that can speak truth and life and hope into somebody else. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for Jesus. We're grateful that he came, that he was sent. Jesus, the one who was there at creation, the one who will come and end all things, is the one who walked among people, among those whom he created. Jesus, would you help us to walk as you walked, to be moved by the same things you're moved by? We sang last week, give me your eyes. Lord, I pray you would give us your eyes and your heart for the people around us. As a family, there's something about doing it together that is powerful. Father, we trust this to you. We don't do this in our own effort. It's actually in our weakness that we step out in faith trusting in you to carry us and hold us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.